CCO time is 7:45 on this Saturday. It's time once again for a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. How's it going?
It's going really well. I was looking at that forecast, and we have a beautiful weekend here.
Indeed,
beautiful.
Indeed we do. And that's about time.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Well, what can we talk about
today?
You
know what I thought we'd talk about today? I have just been inundated with questions about the fires in California and its effect on wine. And what I thought I'd talk about today is basically the 2020 harvest in the Northern Hemisphere. It's been a very difficult, different vintage in different places around the world, and I'll try and cover them all. Much of it's due to the heat wave we've experienced in the Northern Hemisphere. It's really heat, and of course the wildfires in California's Napa and Sonoma Valley, drought in France, thunderstorms and tornadoes in Italy, and plus the global economic slip because of COVID. The 2020 harvest is troublesome vintage, in my opinion. COVID-19 has closed all the tasting rooms and a lot of the restaurants. The 25% tariff that the United States imposed on English, French, Spanish, and German wines has caused exports to drop dramatically, and what imports are coming in are considerably overpriced when you stop and add an extra 25%. And unfortunately, this is going to remain in place, that tariff, for the foreseeable future. As a result, the European sellers are full of unsold wine, and while the 2020 generous, wonderful crop is welcome in a lot of areas like Burgundy in Spain, they're actually paying farmers to reduce the yields and telling them to make it into alcohol and then into hand sanitizer. So there's a lot of wine clogging up the ordinary lines that supply us with wine. So, look, and let's talk about the scariest thing. Let's talk about California and the wildfires. California seemed to be pretty good until the heat waves, wildfires, and that ghastly smoke arrived at the end of August in Napa and Sonoma counties. They were picking white wine grapes when the fire started, and crews continued to harvest in smoke-filled air. They harvest at night to avoid the hot daytime temperatures, which aren't good when you pick the grapes and they have to sit in the field for an hour or so. So you don't want overripe grapes. So even Mendocino, which is cool as can be this year, hit 110 degrees. And in Napa, the mostly contained fires were in the Vaca Mountains. Now, Vaca Mountains is the east side of the valley. They burned about 165,000 acres, damaged thousands of homes and structures, including two or three wineries and several vineyards. The famous 50-year-old vineyard at Volcker Estate in the Chili Valley was totally destroyed. And smoke is a problem for vintage 2020. It's taint, and taint gets on the grapes, and it ruins the grapes, and it's going to reduce the quality and the quantity of this year's crop, especially in reds. The current theory has it that the smoke goes way up high in the atmosphere and doesn't damage grapes. Well, that isn't really true, because the testing facilities out in California that test for taint are so swamped it takes almost a week to get your results back, and that doesn't help either. Napa's varied topography helps a lot, because the wind patterns mean that different areas have different levels of exposure. So to answer the question on is it going to affect Napa Valley, yes, but who's it going to affect? At this point, we really don't know, but taint is widespread. For example, some wineries up on Howell Mountain said they aren't going to make any wine at all because they lost the whole crop to taint. But there on the valley floor, they were picking red grapes, Cabernet. The fruit was beautiful and test negative. So it will really depend on a lot of different things. And for the most part, the winemakers in those areas are really trying to stay upbeat. In Sonoma, the problem's very, very similar. Fires are focused on the north end in Dry Creek Valley and the Russian River Valley. The Santa Cruz Mountains and Monterey are suffering. And everybody points out, you know, it's only September, but the conditions are just not very good. In Oregon, it's even wine-producing region in the state. And that was according to the Oregon Wine Board, who's usually very rosily optimistic. Many wineries have been destroyed in Oregon. In the Willamette Valley, which is home to some of the very, very best Pinot Noirs from the United States, it's near Portland and the Cascade Mountains, and the lower daytime temperatures and a fire at the highest peak caused a lot of winery evacuations, but really no destruction there so far, so they're keeping their fingers crossed. Winemakers say that the fruit is exceptional, and it'll be site-specific, just like Napa. They're hoping for rain this week to wash away and clean up the particularly Pinot Noir grapes. Washington State has been very lucky. They've avoided damage from fires and smokes, but everyone there is still worried. It isn't under control. So that's basically it for California. Oregon and Washington, as near as I can ascertain at this point. Let's look at the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. Bordeaux, optimism reigns. Chateau Aubryon owner sent me an email that we're graced with almost perfect conditions. They've had a hot, dry summer. He's comparing this vintage to 1949, which is, along with 45, two of the greatest vintages in history in Bordeaux. The president of the assembly in Bordeaux said there's surprisingly good levels of acidity in the white wines, despite the warmest summer on record, and the wines are well-balanced with alcohol on the low side, and although they're not as complex as the other vintage, they have flavor intensity, so that's good news there. In Burgundy, it's the third hot, dry vintage in a row, and the harvest went better than expected and was some of the earliest on record. In Burgundy, a lot of the harvests were completed by the first week of September, which is very early. In fact, my friend Drouin said that the Pinot Noir was ripe before the Chardonnay, which is unheard of. And some people in the Côte de Beaune picked both at the same time. The wines have charm and balance, and the reds have intensity and the potential for great aging. Selection is very important, so a lot of people hand-selected the grapes in Burgundy. So it'll depend on the grower, but you can look forward to some terrific wines from Burgundy. In Champagne, there's a real problem there. Because of the COVID issue and all that, yields have been cut by the committee that runs the Champagne harvest by about 25%. That translates into almost 100 million less bottles than they bottled last year. But Champagne shrank by 30%. Don't forget, Champagne's hit very, very hard by that 25% tariff. And so we'll see what happens there. In the Rhone Valley, the white wines were harvested and are superb. They have crisp freshness, and my reporters tell me that the wines are wonderful. Even the red wines, such as Croix Hermitage, were some of the best he ever made. And you'd think that's unusual because they had a scorching summer. But they had very cool nights, and that helped keep balance in the grapes. And Perrin, who owns Chateau Beaucastle, tabled, it's going to be a great vintage. In Italy, it'll vary from vintage to vintage. The good news is the wines of Tuscany, which a lot of people love. That's where all the super Tuscans come from, and Chianti and Montalcino and Brunello di Montalcino, etc., have wonderful, wonderful potential. And overall, Castello Bonfi let me know that the quality is great and they have started to pick. Spain, it's a bumper crop and a lot of inexpensive wines there, but again affected by the 25% tariff. Portugal is good, and Germany, they expect wonderful wines, too. Well, that's it, a few-minute capsulization of the vintages around the world in 2020. All in all, going to be a good vintage to look forward to. We'll see what happens in California with that smoke taint, but careful selection will enable us to have some really good wines, I do believe.
So, I wanted to ask you, Jack, about, I remember getting a bottle of Pinot Noir from Haskell's, and it was from Oregon, the Willamette Valley. Why is some of that so darn good from there?
Well, you know, they have a Pinot Noir festival in the Willamette Valley, and they've had it for about 35 years. And Pinot Noir producers from all over the world come to this, and they exchange technique and growing and everything, you know, the production itself of the wine. And they have been in the forefront of Pinot Noir, again, for 35 years in this country. When it started out, it was very small. Today, they come from down under. They come from all over the world to go to this Pinot Noir festival. And Willamette Valley has become the Burgundy of the United States. That whole area produces wonderful Pinot Noir. If you see Willamette on the label of a Pinot Noir, generally it's better than the other wines that you get from Oregon, because the valley is superb. It has fabulous soil condition. The conditions are a great deal like they are in Burgundy. They have cool nights because they're fairly close to the ocean down that valley. And I don't know. I just happen to agree with you, Denny. I love the wines from the Willamette Valley, Pinot Noirs. I think they're some of the best that are made in the United States.
Let's talk a little bit about Haskell's. Is that 6 for $60 still viable?
Indeed. And as a matter of fact, to help the folks out in California, because this is California Wine Month, we've developed a California 6 for $60, all from California, from Fog Mountain Pinot Noir, Obscure Red, which is a red blend, Ferrari Carano Fumé Blanc, which is a wonderful Sauvignon Blanc made by the Ferrari Carano family, Bois Zinfandel, which is one of your favorites, I know, and it goes great with ribs. Projection Cab is a Cabernet that just epitomizes California Cabernet. And Gearbox Chardonnay, which happens to be my wife's go-to Chardonnay for every day, are just terrific. And there are six of them, are only $60, and you can get them at any Haskell store. And there's a Haskell store near you. There's one in Bloomington, Excelsior, in Faribault, right off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is not to be missed, 22,000 square feet. Minneapolis downtown has free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Island Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver, and we also have outside pickup. So stop in and pick up one of those California 6 for 60 and enjoy yourself and drink the wines from all over California to help them out in these troublesome times.
I love that idea. It's a great idea. Jack, let's talk again next week if you have the time.
Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
Thanks very much. Jack Farrell from Haskell's.